I want to give a shout out to our sound guys. That was not feedback that you just heard. That was an airplane flying over while Frank was eloquently doing Project Overflow. How's everybody doing today? Good. Online church, hope you're having a great Sunday with us. Otherwise, if you're tuning in on demand, we love that you're doing that as well. Frank asked if he could pray with me before service, and we were practicing something that I want to talk about today, and that is agreement prayer. And so I love that song that we sang in worship about the faithfulness of God. He was praying along those lines, and he emphasized, he said, "Lord, just thank you that you've been with Pastor Roy throughout the decades." And I don't know, I just felt old all of a sudden right at that moment, the decades. And it was like the S just kept going and going and going. It was like an ongoing decades. But I appreciate the faithfulness of God. I appreciate, as the psalmist David wrote, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." And it literally means that surely goodness and mercy will chase after me. It will run after me. As we sang that today, it always chokes me up to think about how good God is. God's people said, amen. This is Building Altars Part 3. I just want to really confuse you. It's Building Altars Part 3, but it's Altars of Victory Part 2. So it's last week's continuation. It's 3 weeks so far, but I'm spending another week talking to you about the Altar of Victory, or when we pray what we call spiritual warfare, or we do war against the enemy, an enemy that's been defeated. The enemy has been defeated. It's not a 50-50. Sometimes he wins, sometimes we win. We have won. Say won. Jesus said it is finished. But on this earth, because Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," the keys of earth, earth's domain, when Adam and Eve sinned, were handed over to Satan. That's a real thing that happened. Their decision was a costly decision. Sin affects not just humanity, but every part of creation. Creation no longer works the way it should because sin entered, disobedience entered. Some people ask, well, if God knew that was going to happen, why did he allow it? Because the giving of humanity, authority from heaven on the earth was a real thing. And if God had stepped in at the last second, hang on, then it wouldn't have been a real transfer of authority. God really transferred authority into the hands of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave that to Satan, who evil is prevalent, as we are so aware in all of the things that are going on in the last couple of weeks, the things that we're aware of in the media, just horrible things taking place. We recognize and realize that evil is in the world, but at the same time, the church is in the world. And the Bible said that as we head toward the end of the age, that sin and difficulty is going to get worse and worse, but the church is going to get brighter and brighter, stronger and stronger. Why? Yeah, go give thanks. Amen. We're a part of a winning team. I'm glad your theology, you must be taught well here at Harvest. Just to express that right there, like, yeah, we still win. And yeah, things are getting better because the kingdom is expanding. The gates of hell are being pushed back. And so it appears as if there is more evil. People say, oh, it's harder today than it was back in the day. Things are relative. And the church has work to do, and we have more work to do. And so part of our work is that the kingdom has been given to those who understand who the king is. The kingdom of heaven is like all of the parables in the New Testament. Jesus explained this, and that the kingdom is getting larger and larger until the day of his return, when Jesus returns to this earth, and Satan will be tied for 1,000 years, bound up. He will not have any access to creation, to the world, to humanity, and we'll have a taste of what it was to be in the Garden of Eden. Until then, we're working toward that. And we are to be extending. And there is no plan B. God gave it to us plan A to extend the kingdom and seek kingdom power. And so we do that through prayer, and we're talking about building altars. And I want to spend another week in this area of establishing the authority that God has given back to Christ followers. For real, we have his authority. That's why Jesus said, greater works than these will you do. Say, I can do them. We do them through prayer. We see the power of God manifest in our lives. And so the question is asked by Gideon. It's a good question. We've all asked it. Pardon me, Lord. Gideon said in response to the angel of the Lord saying, God is with you. If the Lord is with us, why is this happening? Why are bad things happening to Christ followers? Why is there difficulty? Why is the enemy stealing our stuff? Was Gideon's perspective. We heard about miracles, but I'm not experiencing those miracles. And so he really comes to the natural conclusion of the human mind, but now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the enemy. The enemy's winning. And God's response is clear to Gideon and to us. And we spent time last week, and I would encourage you to get that teaching if you weren't a part of it, as these all go kind of go together. And that is, without war, you won't see the miracles. And he's put into our hands the capacity and ability to exercise heaven's authority here on the earth. Basically, Gideon, you have been called to deliver. You've been called to be the deliverer. You've been called to punch the enemy in the nose and deliver that blow that would knock him down. We see David do it with a giant named Goliath, all showing us that those things actually historically happen, but showing us in a deep spiritual way that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are powerful, the pulling down of strongholds, the powers in the atmosphere, evil power that we looked at and we understand are real. We're not to be afraid of it. It's not weird, spooky, at least it doesn't need to be. But we acknowledge that there is an enemy, and we're going to fight against that enemy. And if we choose not to, the enemy has full access. He's a squatter. He doesn't play by rules. If he's not being resisted, then he can go about continuing to do evil in the realms that we have been deputized to enforce God's power over our homes, our workplaces, our schools, and if we'll have faith over our nation to see God move and to see evil pushed back. It was a very clear response, and I want to be very careful again to say not everything that's going wrong is because of a demon or because of the devil or because we haven't prayed. That would be too general and too simplified. But for the sake of the message, please understand, I want to push this idea, the pendulum, I want to push it over there, because for many of us, we're not even thinking this way. So we're focusing, and we're going to look at it for what it is in the scripture. The angel of the Lord said to Gideon, no fight, no miracle, mighty man of valor. And so we need to occupy the place that God's given us. We pray prayers of reversal, resistance, and protection. Let's keep going today, but let's pray. Father, I thank you for the grace that I sense in the room today. Just as we were worshiping, as people were experiencing the water of their life, Lord, going from bitter to sweet. Lord, just the refreshing. I just sense the refreshing of God in this room. Lord, thank you for it. And Lord, thank you that you said you would make us strong. You said that it's the power of your might. As we were in huddle getting ready for this morning in Dream Team, and Mia so beautifully opened the word to talk about when I don't feel the strength, I'm to go ahead and do it anyway because God is my strength. It's not my strength, it's his anyway. And so, Lord, thank you. Lord, as you're just weaving all of these ideas together today, help us understand. Help us do your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, so we're going to go to another altar today, literally in the scriptures, and it's in Exodus, and it is Moses and Joshua, and Joshua is the captain of a physical army. The Amalekites, another enemy, we looked at, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. A couple things here. So the Amalekites are attacking physically with weapons of war, killing Israelites. And Moses says, look, here's what we're going to do. You're going to actually do some physical fighting. Now, we don't do physical fighting. We don't fight against flesh and blood. But there are circumstances and situations in our life that if we want change, we want to be real about this. And if I need a job and I feel like the enemy, you know, is holding it up somehow, and I'm going to pray prayers of reversal. And I'm going to pray, hey, Lord, I'm thanking you for a job right now and a job that doesn't just meet the needs. But Lord, I want to have a job that pays and blesses, and Lord, and so there are aspects of that that we have natural things to do, like fill out a resume, be a hard worker, trust God with my increase and tithe in the house of God. I mean, we could go on and talk about the natural things that as we live this life, there's things that we need to do and have to do that if we just sit back. And so I'm not talking about capital C crazy charismatic stuff where, you know, there's some crazy teaching and God just does it all and I can sit at home and drink Coca-Cola and wait for my miracle. No, we are occupying space. We are doing natural things to move ahead, natural things to advance, and we're doing the things that God wants us to do. And so Joshua's literally going to fight. And he says, some of the men to go out and fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I'll stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And that's significant. That symbolizes the authority from heaven given to Moses on the earth. And so Moses was getting ready. God calls him to be a deliverer, to set people free, to cancel the effects of sin. He's going to get God's people to the other side, into the promised land. And God says to Moses, as like he says to you and I, you might say, like last week, I don't know, like Gideon, I don't know. I don't think I can do this stuff. God asks Moses, who went through the same routine, I don't think I can do this, God. I'm not important enough. I don't know enough scripture. I get it wrong on most days, God. Why are you choosing me? God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And like a good shepherd, he had a shepherd's staff in his hand. And God asks you and he asks me, he said, well, what's in your hand? And it would symbolize what we do each and every day. It's our life. It's what kind of constitutes us. And God says, I want to put authority into your hand. I want to give you authority from heaven. And so Moses' staff was the one he threw down in Pharaoh's court and it turned to a serpent and ate Pharaoh's serpents all up. Beautiful story of God's power is greater than the power of Egypt's magicians and occultic activities. God is on the throne today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's power is powerful. And he took up that staff and it's in his hand again. It's in your hand, it's in my hand, the authority of God. And then he held it over, you know, the Red Sea. And that's the same staff. And there was a way made where there was no way. Was it Moses? No. It was Moses taking into his hand the authority that God had given him. God's given you authority. He's given me authority today. Will you take hold of it? And he goes to the top of the mountain. He takes hold. He says, I'll take the staff. And he begins to pray. And as he holds the staff up on that cliffside and down in the valley, there's a ferocious battle going on. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, as long as he was in the place of prayer, as long as he was praying prayers of reversal, God, we're going to win today. I thank you, Lord, that we are the head and not the tail. Lord, I thank you today that you're the God of blessing. God, I thank you today. And he's praying prayers of protection over the men, and he's praying and holding up the authority of God. And as long as he was doing that, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. It's not that different. When we're in the place of prayer and we're holding up, we are winning. But when we're not praying, we're not winning. And so we want to be in that place where we're holding up and extending. We understand God's given me authority. We looked in the scriptures last week. I'm extending that authority. I'm believing in that authority, and I'm winning. But how many know in the times where we're recognizing that things are just not the way they should be, and we're kind of awakened to the fact we've lowered our hands? We've lowered our understanding of his authority. There's a strong principle. We kind of looked at that last week. It's not what I want to focus on this week. What I want to focus on this week is as he understood and we understand that prayer we win, when we're not praying, we're losing. We're not enforcing his authority. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Well, sort of. He didn't do it alone. He did it because Moses was on the hill praying. You're going to win battles. You're going to be able to say, hey, this thing turned around at work. My immigration issue. I know a lot of our immigrants that are here this morning, and we're praying for immigration issues all of the time and hearing about miracles because somebody's lifting hands up and praying and believing for our precious friends that are coming from other nations and coming, and they join our community of faith, and they're people of faith, and they're saying, we need this letter. We need our children to come and join us. We need employment. And we're watching over these months as God is doing some mighty, mighty miracles. And they're doing everything. Man, they're down talking to their workers. They're doing all that they're doing. And we won the battle. Well, sort of. You won it in cooperation with hands that are being raised, prayer that is going on. Would you just thank the Lord right now for answers to prayer? And we're seeing lots of them in these days. And then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. So he puts it into the scriptures that we're reading today. Make sure that Joshua hears it. Make sure the people that are down on the battlefield understand that too. It's not just natural, it's spiritual. Because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar. He builds an altar. We're talking about building places of prayer, building the altar. And he called it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord's my banner. That when I lift up the power of the Lord, things begin to happen. Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites. And as we build our altar, what we are establishing is God is at war with our enemies. It's not you and I. We are exercising the authority given to us against the enemy. God is at war. You're not at war. We're at peace. That's why I said last week we're building altars of victory. We live in peace and in victory of what Jesus has already done. Somebody said, amen. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. And so we're looking at this altar of warfare. We're going on today, building these altars where we pray and establish what God has given us. We come into the New Testament. I want to talk about agreement prayer today. The prayer that happens when we begin praying ourselves. And that's very important. It's very important. Sometimes I'm tempted I need prayer in some area, and I have a number of people that will contact me and say, Pastor, what can I pray for today? And hey, great, pray for this. But if I'm not praying first, then there is an agreement prayer. If I haven't gone to the mountain and got tired, then I haven't entered into this process. And so this isn't about somebody else praying for me. We're going to see in the scriptures today, this is somebody praying with me. And there's a difference of someone praying for you as there is, and I love people that are praying for me, but there's something powerful when you begin to pray with somebody. We're talking about with prayer, with each other, and the power that's released in agreement prayer. Jesus taught us in Matthew 18, again, I say that if two of you agree on earth. Now, that's significant. We're talking about releasing heaven's power on the earth. The earth is the place where it would appear as if Satan's got it all tied up and in complete control. But he doesn't, because God's people have been given God power where? On the earth. on the earth. And so heaven's power comes to earth, back to the, very much a part of the Lord's Prayer. And some of you have recited the Our Father your whole life and will begin to understand that it's not so much a prayer to recite, but a prayer of how we're to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, in my workplace, in my home, in my children, as it is in heaven. Again, if I say to you, if two shall agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, ask in prayer, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. God's waiting to be asked. God's waiting to be asked. Sometimes we approach it this way and we say, well, if God knows everything ahead of time, why do I have to ask him? Because God likes to be asked. Because it acknowledges he's the one with the power and the authority. My adult kids come over and everything, you know, in my home is still theirs. And they, yeah, I mean, they act that way anyway, but sometimes, you know, I come into the kitchen and I have a 22-year-old, soon to be 22-year-old, in my home. And I often see his rear end sticking out of my refrigerator you know, that's fine. I mean, really, but there's something that happens to a dad, something in my heart where they just take the time to say, hey, do you mind if I take the car? Hey, do you mind if I use it? Do you mind? And it's theirs anyway. But something happens in my heart when there's just a little acknowledgement. I have this because of you, Dad. I have a warm bed because of you, Dad. You know, and just there's those moments where that realization and it's spoken, it does something to a dad's heart. Did you know God the Father is quite the same way? That when he likes to be asked, not because he's egotistical, not because of all, you know, the negative kind of connotations of that, but the very positive connotations that I know whom I have believed. And he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. And there's that connection because at that moment, our Father who art in heaven, the prayer begins that way. It's an acknowledgement that his Father's heart is open, wide open and abundant, and he wants to supply. He wants to give. There's not a no in God's vocabulary. God wants to say yes and amen to all that we come to him with and ask him for. And so a Father's heart, we ask anything in his name by my Father in heaven. For where two are gathered together in my name, that's authority language, in my name. That's authority language. We understand the authority. I am in the midst of them. My presence is there. My power is there. My authority is there. You're holding it. You're praying. Agreement prayer. Say agreement prayer. There's something powerful about this. Where two people agree in prayer about getting something done that's happening. So Moses is there and he grew tired. He had entered into prayer, but now he has with prayer. Now, before I kind of open this up, I want to just unpack this a little bit. Number one, when we talk about this very powerful principle of agreement prayer, number one, you need to come into agreement with God, where two shall agree. And it's, I'm going to say the one is me and my prayer partner. But we have got to be in agreement with the other party, and the other party is the Father who we're praying to, who has the authority to do what we're asking for. And we miss this a lot of times. If we're not in agreement with what God has said, if we're not in agreement with what God wants to do, if we're kind of praying with doubt in our heart and we're not sure, then we're not in agreement with what God has said. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about this. This is important. This is why prayer, I believe, I pray out loud. I know God can read my mind, and there's times in meditative prayer I do that. But there's times that I understand that I don't pray to the enemy, but we talked about that last week, but I want to hear the enemy. I want to have him hear me pray. I want to have him hear what's going on. I want to have him hear that I am not agreeing with him, but I'm agreeing with God. I'm coming into agreement with what God has said. Have you ever been in a circumstance or a situation where somebody at work's talking, blah, 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 and they're talking about the boss, blah, 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 and you don't say anything because you don't want to cause any trouble. You just don't say anything. You don't, well, you know, I don't really agree with that. I respect, you know, that we're having this lunchroom talk. I just need to kind of go on. I don't really agree with that. I don't want to fight with you respectfully. It'll just, I don't agree with that. We don't do that. But blah, blah, blah. And all the words go out It gets back to the boss, and the boss comes and says, excuse me, I hear that, you know, that you're having some issues here in the workplace. No, boss, not at all. No. Where did you hear me say that? Well, I didn't hear you say that, but we heard somebody else say it, and you didn't disagree. And so it's taken as agreement. When you're not, somebody's going to get this. I'm feeling this. Somebody's going to get this. When you're not disagreeing with what the enemy's doing and saying, then you're in agreement. And you need to speak in prayer your agreement with God. It's got to start with agreement with God. God says, I heal the sick. Then I'm praying over my body, over my infirmities. I'm praying over my family. I'm praying over my brothers and sisters. I'm praying over people who don't even know Jesus so that they can know him, because the healer comes and touches and heals them. Why? That's coming into agreement with what God has said. This doesn't line up with the Word of God. And so I begin to read the Word, and I begin to build an arsenal of weaponry so I can pray the prayers of reversal. If you're not coming into agreement out loud. And so I pray these things. When I'm praying, Lord, I thank you today that depression is not from you. Despair is not from you. Fear is not from you. Lord, I speak against these things that are trying to get in my mind and in my emotions right now. And Lord, I thank you for the joy of the Lord that is my strength. Lord, I thank you today that greater is he that is within me than he who's in the world. Lord, I thank you today. And I begin to pray and come into agreement with what God has said. And as you become into agreement, you're learning the first step of agreement. Where two shall agree, you got to agree with God. You've got to agree with God. Well, Pastor, I'm not too sure about that healing thing. Start to read the scriptures. Read through the gospels. Read them through. And you tell me after you finish reading the gospels, if the Bible says that Jesus said, greater things will you do, the amount of healing and deliverance, people being set free from evil influence, there is in the New Testament, that Jesus doesn't want us to be a part of that. Agree with God, Job chapter 22, agree with God and be at peace. I love this scripture because, that's not the Hebrew shalom peace of just kind of well-being and a sense of blessing. This is the I'm not at war peace. Because if I'm at peace, then I'm not at war. If I'm at war, I'm not at peace. And so that's that language. It's that word. Agree with God and be in victory is what it's saying. Agree with God and you will win. Agree with God and you can push back the enemy. Agree with God and you will see that he's already won the battle. Agree with God and be at the altar of peace. Thereby, good will come to you. That word good means blessing. It means prosperity. It means the abundance of God. The goodness of God will come to you. Receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words where? In your heart. Not in your head. Get them into your heart. Believe them. Believe them. Start to understand what God's word is saying. You're coming into agreement with God. You're releasing his authority when you come into agreement. That's the conduit connection between heaven and earth's authority. That's how it gets in your hand. It's got to be in your heart so that you can get it into your life or into your hand. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, thinks to the mountain, projects to the mountain, no, says to the mountain, say says. Says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Agreement with God. It starts with agreement with God. I'm speaking to these things as if the Bible says, speak to them as if they already have happened, because they have. We're exercising his authority. We're releasing it into that situation. Agree with God and be at peace. Good, abundance, prosperity, and blessing will come to you. As long as Moses had his hands up in agreement with God, he was winning. When he got tired and his hands went down, he was losing. I want to talk to you about a story in the Old Testament of a man, a Syrian man. He wasn't even of Israel. He was a Gentile named Nahum. Nahum had leprosy. That's a death sentence. He'd heard about a God that healed. He heard about a God that set people free. And he made a long journey to find a prophet that would pray over him and deliver him from leprosy. When he gets there, the prophet says, what I need you to do. The prophet wouldn't even talk to him. He said, I'll just tell him to go down to the Jordan and dip himself down in the Jordan 7 times. Go right under the water, do it 7 times. Nahum, with a death sentence, was angry because that's not the way he thought it should happen. Nahum went away angry, and he thought that he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot, and he would be cured of leprosy. I thought it would go this way. We've all been there. I thought I would just get to the mountain, exercise some authority, and the battle will be over. But sometimes it takes 7 days, 7 dips, 7 times. His servant came out, and he little talked to Nahum because Nahum was trucking. He's this doesn't work. I'm going home. And his servant said, but we've come so far. We've come so far, and I know we're tired. And you're very irritable. Can I just say that? Can I just say that, sir? With all due respect, you're very irritable, a little bitter maybe. But we've come this far, and we've worked this hard, and here we are. And the prophet said, just do this, and it'll happen. And so what have you got to lose? Let's just continue with the program here. Let's get you down into the Jordan. Come on, sir. Come on in. I'll count for you, all right? Ready? Here we go now. One. I'll do it with you. One, two, 7, and he's healed. Who was this servant? The servant was his prayer partner. Servant was his agreement person. His servant was the one who said, I know you're tired. I know your hands are getting a little heavy. I'm going to partner with you. I'm going to come into agreement with you for your healing. I'm going to come into agreement for what you're believing for. I've got faith. And at that moment, he was a servant. He's serving Nahum by coming alongside and saying, come on, let's do this. One, two, I know it's been a month and we've seen no change, but we're believing God. And sometimes when we're praying on our own, we have got to have someone who comes into agreement with us. I'm agreeing with God, but I need people around me, people of faith that believe that what God has said is true, because doubt starts to creep in after about 2, maybe 3. Maybe doubt crept in before we even started the process. And it's discouragement and despair. And the enemy begins to tell you the lie. You're not winning this one. Maybe after 4, we're ready. Let's just call it. We're just going to lose this battle. Moses didn't do it. Nahum didn't do it. Why? Because there was an Aaron and there was a Hur, because there was a servant. And I want to challenge you today, if you're not connected in this house where you can bring vulnerably some of your prayer requests, that's a next step for you. To begin to connect your life with people who will say, I'm going to stand and believe with you for your miracle. I'm going to stand after 1, after 2, and we're going through the whole thing until we see this miracle, and together in the strength of God, we're going to release. Where 2 shall agree, it's done in Jesus' name. It's done in Jesus' name. Moses' hands got tired. Worship team, you can come on up. Moses' hands got tired. So they got a stone and they set it under him, and he sat down, and they, one on one side, one on the other, or 2 shall agree. Moses found some faith partners, other people who would come into agreement with what he was asking God for. 2 Corinthians says, for the promises of God and him are yes and amen. To the glory of God through us, say us. I don't have time to unpack this. I wish I did. It's such a great, the context of this scripture is plural. It's relationship. It's the people, the us's of this house where you might be joined. And we invite you, there are different steps you can take to begin this process of getting to know people and get it connected and find prayer partners and faith partners, and they're always here via sending in prayer requests online. We have people that will partner with you, but there's something powerful when the person knows you, knows your need, knows the pain you're in. You have someone, you have a yes, you're believing God, but someone who's got the amen, somebody who's got the tail end of where we're going. The promises of God are yes and... And some of you've got the yes, but you haven't got your amen yet. You haven't got somebody who's saying, so be it, Lord, partnering with you. And some things only happen when we release agreement prayer. Again, I say to you, if two shall agree on the earth concerning anything that they will ask, it will be done by my Father who is in heaven. Where two or more are gathered, I am there. Find number two, find people to come into agreement with. The Bible says two are better than one. There's a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Whew. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Though they may be overpowered, hands get heavy, you just can't get through this battle, that's the time to call someone to come alongside you. Two can defend themselves. A cord of three is not easily broken. You want to partner with people of faith. You want to partner with people who know the word. You want to partner with people that are not going to bring doubt. Well, I don't know. I don't really think this is going to change. Let's give up on this. No, you want somebody who's going to take you down to the river and help you dip seven times in your process. Number three, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't give up. Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. His hands were steady. Steady. Steady as we go. Steady as we go. His hands were steady until the sun went down, until it was over. There's a steadiness that comes when we find those prayer partners. It just steadies you. I've experienced this so many times in my life when I just was ready to give up. Oh, Pastor, you were ready to give up? Oh, more times than I will share publicly, because it would scare you. It scares me. But somebody comes alongside and says, no, let me come alongside you. Not sure why last couple of weeks, Linda and Norm, we've been just kind of highlighting your life and your journey, which is just so strong, even in these difficult times. We're going to be honoring this couple, and just next month in November, we're going to take time and honor their contribution to this house. I want to just smother them with love and money and just acknowledge the amount of times I wanted just to run, and they held me steady because they were steady in God in that moment. At times, and I'm sure that they would say that I held them steady. And together, we were prayer partners, and we continue to be. And we're just those people in each other's life. And I have others in my life that have cultivated that relationship, and it just holds me steady, steady, not giving up. Not turning aside, not taking our eyes off of what God has said. And I don't know why Nahum had to dip seven times, or Israel went around Jericho seven times. And I sometimes come like Nahum and go, I thought it would just be wave the hand and thus, you know, abracadabra in the name of Jesus, and it would be all over. I was in a battle. But here's what I do know. That while we're in prayer, there's a power in God that holds us steady. And it's the power of partnership with others. Moses built an altar and he called on its name, the Lord is my banner, because the Lord has sworn the Lord will be at war. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed. The battle's not yours, it's God's. Agreement prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just as we transition this service. And I just, all across this room, we just ask that for some, maybe you need to renew some partnerships. A place where you can just open your heart and say, I know that God can do this, but I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm not very steady right now. Would you help hold me steady in this time? Would you come into agreement with me? It's powerful. Most of us wait too long to ask for help. Most of us are not erring on the side of, hey, will you pray for this for me? Most of us are erring on the side of, we're not calling for help soon enough. Holy Spirit, would you even, right now in this moment, just names and faces to come to mind. There's a prayer. There's a person of faith. These are people you're already in relationship with. If you were here today and you said, I don't have those relationships yet, please take full advantage of our online prayer request page. You can go on our page and you'll see it there, and you can enter in a prayer request. And then there's room, if you'd like to pray for others, you can see that prayer request and you can pray, join with them. But until that time of you, maybe you came forward for ministry time and you kind of connected with somebody, in a prayer ministry person. You might want to just, not everybody will have space to do this. And someone may say, hey, listen, I'm partnering on a few things right now. And I don't take it personally. I can't partner with you. I would rather have somebody say that than try to be polite and go, oh, for sure. I'm just going to stand firm with you and believe for that. And forget about it before they even got to their car. No, these are people that you're growing relationship with. And if you don't have that today, that's a great next step. You want that in your life. You want Aaron and her in your life. And you build those. They don't come to you. You begin developing those relationships. And so, Lord, even at a time where people are starting freedom groups and seeds, it's such a great time to start building those partnerships. And I bless prayer partnerships. Some in this house have been, they're decades old, and bless those two, Lord. Hey, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just before we sing a song and are dismissed, I'd love to ask this question. We ask it at the end of every service, and that is, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, would you like to come into agreement with God? This first step, and here's the first step: agreement. I'm a sinner. The Bible says I'm an enemy of God. I was born in sin. There's nothing I can do. There's not enough good things I could ever do in this world to outdo sin in my life. The scriptures are very clear about that. That God is not angry at you today. You're angry at God. And whether we consciously know that or not, in our spirit we know that, because we're separated from God. We're actually at war with the very purposes of God. But today, if you're sitting in this service or you're listening to it online, and this invitation that God loves you, and you simply have to come into agreement of where you're at today, that I've never asked God to forgive my sin, that I'm coming into agreement. I agree I need a Savior. I agree I need forgiveness. And I agree that God did it for me. And there's nothing I can do to earn this, and nothing I can do that I deserve this. But he's offering me today salvation. And yes, I would like to receive it. If that's you today and you're ready to come into agreement with God for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, I'm going to count down from three, two, and then one. And when I reach one, simply raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it, and then we're going to pray together. All of us in this room are going to pray a prayer, but I'm going to invite you to make it your prayer today and receive salvation in 3, 2, 1. Just raise your hand wherever you are. I'm just scanning the room. I don't see a hand today, but we're going to pray this prayer because I never want to forget that we're here so people can know God. Harvest, let's pray this together. Online, if you check the box, or you can write in your chat box this morning, I'm praying this prayer. Join us now. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me the way I am. But the way I am is I am a sinner, and today I agree with you. I need a Savior. come into my life, forgive my sin. I believe you died for me. You rose again, and today I receive eternal life. I will live forever. My sins are forgiven. I am born again. Amen. Hey, come on, stand to your feet. We're going to pray this just before we, or sing this just before we go today.
For just being our Father. Jesus, I just thank you for this service this morning. God, the word that has come forth. And Father, as we go, we take it with us and we ponder it, Father. And Jesus, I just pray for each individual this morning that as they leave this auditorium, God, you will go with them. Regardless of what mountains they're facing this week, Father, what valleys they're in, Father, that you will be there with them every step of the way. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are, Jesus, and we thank you that we just get to worship and honor you. In your name we pray, amen. Harvest, have a fantastic week. We'll see you back here next week.